So I've come across an interesting side effect, let's call it. A weird, kind of unexpected problem, if you will. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, mind you. But let me do my best to explain it. And it all has to do with the interconnectedness of the stories that I'm telling and the fact that my brain doesn't know how I'm going to put them together until I do. This right here is a spoiler, by the way. It is a spoiler for a couple of separate pieces. Let me take an opportunity to ward you away from certain things when it comes to audios that I've created, if you don't want to have things spoiled for you. So, this is going to be referencing Slayers in the Night. All right. Duel of the Two Pillars, which is a Black Pearl story, but also introduces the eight pillars of magic in my universe. The Hyde Containment. Sweet Sybil. And is that it? Oh, yeah, no, of course. How could I forget? Fucking Russell, the Black Pearl story. So, if you don't want any of that spoiled, feel free to leave. And then come back when you've listened to them. 10 Mississippi, 9 Hippopotamus, 8 Sasquatch, 7 Platypus, 6 Pterodactyl, 5 Ankylodon, 4 Leopleodon, 4 Elephelius, 3 Akunagunda, which was supposed to originally be my middle name, but we'll leave it at that, 2 Sabertooth Tiger, 1, and here we are, we're all done. So, I've discovered something in the fact that my brain is starting to connect the threads of all the stories. And this is kind of a behind-the-scenes look at the way that my brain puts it together. So, a couple of weeks back, I had a really bad night's sleep because I had a nightmare that the kids weren't in the house anymore. So, it woke me up dead awake, dead asleep to awake in no time flat. And it was awful. And of course, in order to calm myself down, I did what any sane person would do, and I turned it into a story. Now, I had, at the time, no idea how it was going to go, right? I had a premise. I did not have a beginning, a middle, and an ending. So, of course, like everything else, I started the process of writing the first draft. And I got through. Now, if you've listened to the story, you know that there is a point at which our main character realizes what's happening and goes to turn around, kind of like retracing their steps in order to get to where they're going. Cool. My original plan was somewhere along the way, was our main character going to realize this is a Black Pearl or something? Oh, wait, it's a father looking for their kids. Okay, that's interesting, and we know one of the kids is a daughter. All right, that works. So, what are we doing? Well, I followed it. And then all of a sudden, about 3 days ago, it broke on me that this wasn't a Black Pearl at all. This was a story of revenge. And it was a story of revenge that took place in the aftermath of Black Pearl. And that's when my brain put together that this was a story of revenge of a father trying to get back for the death of his son who just happened to be fucking Russell. Now, we know that Russell was a frost giant who went on his merry way and ended up coming across a father who, what, utilized a black pearl in order to devour, Russell. He shoved Russell into a deep, dark pit within the center of himself, and Russell was devoured by shadowy figures at the bottom of this pit inside this person, right? Okay. Rewind back to when I wrote The Hyde Containment, right? I have the lead character of The Hyde Containment, this bifurcated protagonist, mention what? The Separatori, which is kind of the organization, the religious institute, which is kind of our middling evil, our kind of banal organization that is trying to wipe out anything extraordinary and is trying to do so on the grounds of it being, you know, religion trying to rein things in, quote unquote, because really it's not religion. It's just an organization desperately trying to remain relevant and powerful. So I'm like, okay. So in The Hyde Containment, the protagonist mentions that he is part of the Sentius, right? And that the Sentius carry the souls of the dead within them. So every generation comes to live within the Sentius who are currently living, and it gives them strength, and it gives them... And also, during The Hyde Containment, we discovered that in order to infiltrate the Separatori, the Sentius, the lead protagonist of that story, bifurcated himself so that there was a mundane human-esque version and there was the truer, more feral version, right? Going back to, you know, hearkening back to the Jekyll and Hyde and the werewolf mythos and stuff like that, right? So all at once, my brain goes, okay, so the guy living in the house, the guy who I know that this is all going to be Russell's dad trying to get revenge for the death of his child, right? So automatically we know that this is a sequel to fucking Russell, right? But also we know that the person who the father in this piece, he fed Russell to a bunch of ravenous beasts inside of himself, right? Okay, we know the Sentius have their ancestors living within them, and so that became a natural fit for that. So then I had to incorporate that savage shift, right? Because while you have the mundane human-esque father figure and the savage version of the Sentius both maintaining the same existence, you have to be able to express that, right? They very obviously have a home where they're raising children, so they in and of themselves have now, okay, we've established a threat, we established why the children have been stolen, right? Because it's a revenge plot, right? Okay, so a move has been made. It was a bad move. It was a weak move, right? But we still know that a move was made. All right. So we have the Sentius, right? Who is our protagonist, the father. And we have that father finally coming across the father of Russell. All right. Again, I had originally thought this was going to be a Black Pearl. But you have the Sentius, this dual being in one body, right? And it comes face to face with Russell's dad, who identifies himself, but he also has to, in that moment, in order to claim some sort of sure footing, he has to establish that he knows exactly who he is, because we've already established that he can't be on the property, right? We already know that he can't be in the house or inside the protective bubble around the house of the Sentius and his kids. And subsequently, so we find that out. But he needs to be able to sustain some kind of, establish some kind of equal footing with the Sentius. Russell's dad has to find level, because he's already revealed who he is, right? Even though it's not really him, it's a fragment, it's a form. So what does he need to do? He needs to name the Sentius. He needs to identify him. He needs to say, hey, I know who you are. Essentially saying, I know who you are. I know where you live. I can prove it all. And so I found myself on another hill. And then in the moment that I'm writing it, all of a sudden it all kind of clicked together. And I went, I had known when I wrote The Tale of the Library, there is a moment in the story of Old Nick where, I should have mentioned that too. There's a part in the story of Old Nick that mentions the eight pillars of magic, but also mentions the fact that there are generations that are seen, right? That there are generations that exist, right? And that there are certain members of these generations that keep interacting. So I have the protagonist, who is the Sentius, right? The one who killed Russell. The Sentius needs to be named by Russell's dad in order for Russell's dad to be on sure footing with him. And like an utter lunatic, my brain just spits out Justinian Hera. Justinian Hera. For anybody linking your brain up with the sweet symbol of it all, here it is. Justinian Hera. Garrison is a Sentius as well, right? And you have that, the lineage of the burly men, right? The gentlemen werewolves of it all, going all the way back to wolf, and the natural, the evolution of their species to eventually become a Sentius. Garrison very clearly is a Sentius by himself, right? The big hulking, like brooding man, very dark, but also very fuzzy, almost kind of the beast of the beauty kind of situation. So I'm establishing a lineage, right? And when that happened, it all kind of fell into place. Justinian being the quote unquote protagonist of the Hyde containment, right? You have the father who hits a point where he can't keep it cool and lets slip so that the more feral part of himself takes over, right? And at some point, you know, will Justinian, the two halves of Justinian, the he slash they of it all, will the two parts combine into one individual? You know, they seem to be sharing time relatively well by the point we get to this story. You know, where's that going to evolve? But you have Justinian and Kehlani. Kehlani, we knew, was named as the Separatori agent who brought him in when it came to the Hyde containment. There is another part of the Hyde containment I'm currently writing as well. I did not expect this to happen at all. And then once I get to the very ending of it, right, we mentioned the eight pillars, which is going to become something that's going to play a part in other things that I'm going to be putting out in the near future, because it plays a big part in Jasper Harrow's story back with Venera, and it plays a major part with Uncle Nicky as well. So there's groundwork, there's pieces that have been placed, but there are some connections. And then the last part of the story, the epilogue of it all, where Tempe rolls away. Now, Tempe would be what? Tempe was mentioned in that Black Pearl, right? In the duel. And Tempe is, we know, is a guardian of one of the eight pillars, right? We don't know which, but we know that she's powerful. We know that she's capable. And we know that she's keeping an eye on whatever is going on with Justinian and Kehlani. So it all becomes, it all becomes interconnected, right? And at the very end, obviously, right before they go to bed, Kehlani and Justinian are basically like, oh, well, you know, rock, paper, scissors to see who calls Ma Ren and Uncle Nikki. Again, tying all of the pieces together, because really it is interconnected the way that my brain sees it. But sometimes I don't know where the threads are connecting. So you guys, in a very real way, saw in real time something go from being a standalone anthology piece to becoming part of the larger lore. Because when I first started writing it, you know, this piece by itself, you know, the Slayer piece was, Slayers in the Night was about me being freaked out about a nightmare, and I was going to try to turn it into a really cool Black Pearl, and it became a whole lot more. It became part of the connective tissue. So hopefully you guys can appreciate that, a little insight into how my brain pan works. And yeah, thanks so much for your time. Hopefully you didn't listen to this before you listened to the other, and you saw whether or not you figured it out yourself. If you figured it out yourself, way to go. Gold star. If you didn't, that's fine. You know, like, I've written a lot of stuff, apparently. So, yeah. Have fun storming the castle. Enjoy the stories. I hope you stick around, because to say that this was unintentional is correct. To say it is the only thread that has started to be connected would couldn't be further from the truth, because my brain is starting to knit all of the universe together in some very interesting ways, so we will see how it goes down. But until then, have fun storming the castle, everybody. Forehead kisses, headbutts, bear hugs. Love you.